Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho! From deep in the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately.
A very Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. An early Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you may be celebrating this holiday season, I sincerely hope you are able to enjoy it with those you love the most, and that your holiday season is filled with the joy, the laughter, the love, and the serenity that we so desperately need in our lives, and that the world could use a heck of a lot more of these days. Welcome back, everyone, to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. There is all kinds of stuff we need to talk about. I mean, we've got news on the cabinet front. There's chaos going on in Syria. There's a really funny story about Trump meeting up with Justin Trudeau from Canada and referring to him as the governor of the 51st state. when I heard about that one, I think it was a good half hour. I was laughing to myself about that. So many things we need to get into. There's a couple of just awful stories out there. Another one out of New York on the subway. My goodness gracious, what human beings are capable of doing to other human beings. And that relates back to the migrant crisis, the border. So many things we need to talk about. We're going to ignore it all today because it's Christmas week. As I sit here recording this, it is Christmas Eve, if you will. And it is time for us to put all that on the back burner and shut that back burner off. As I said, this is going to be the last time that I get to talk to you for probably a couple of weeks here. Going to take a break over the holidays. We have the privilege of having everybody coming to us this year. It is fantastic. We've got our best friends from here in town are coming over on Christmas Eve, which we've been doing that for a few years now, and we have a full meal, turkey, you know, and the whole works. We go to church, and just all the beauty. You know, I don't know what religion you are. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just sharing with everyone what we celebrate, how we celebrate, and however you celebrate, whatever you celebrate, no matter what religion you are. If you're not religious at all, that's okay. This show is going to be about me just more or less taking you down the road with me on what has made this time of year so special to me, and we'll get to all that. But yeah, Christmas Eve, we go to church, we come back to our place with our best friends from here in town, just an amazing couple with two fantastic kids that we've known for going on two decades now. Our kids grew up together, our kids hung out together, our daughters are still best friends, even though they've gone all the way through high school now, and they've grown into different friend groups, and they're both into, one went off to basic training, one is training for dental hygiene, but they have stuck with each other through all of it, through first boyfriends, through heartbreak, through family crises, and losing people close to them, and also the good times. We vacation together in our very favorite place on earth. We spend a week with this very same family, among others, at a resort in August every year. And it is just filled with the most unbelievable times, hysterically funny, forever enjoyable. And we look forward to it each and every year. We basically plan our years around that week. And a couple of years ago, we started spending this time on Christmas Eve together. And it's been outstanding. We play games, we do like a dice game with little gifts, and our friends are so generous and so kind, and it is such an amazing time. I cannot wait. Then Christmas Day, we're having the family over here. Everybody's coming to us. It's our turn in the proverbial rotation to host Christmas this year, and we love it. We absolutely love it. My wife does a fantastic job with the food. And she humors me because I am a traditionalist when it comes to Christmas. And we're going to get into why I'm such a traditionalist. But one of them is I have to have ham. It's just one of those things. It's not Christmas Day if we don't have ham and cheesy potatoes for that matter. Those are kind of my two staples that I have to have them on Christmas. It's just one of those things. And she, God bless her, she absolutely humors me and works her rear end off in the kitchen when it's time for us to host, because I am useless when it comes to cooking, especially large meals with complicated dishes. My culinary skills go about as far as making scrambled eggs and frozen pizzas, and beyond that, I'm of very little use in the kitchen, but she takes very good care of me and of the family, the whole family, all the time, but especially when we host a holiday here, she does an amazing job, and it's going to be fantastic. Gift openings that, you know, I have memories of going back as my oldest memories that I can come up with are from our family Christmas day and our gift opening. And yes, Christmas has become far too commercialized, and I agree, yet I partake and am absolutely part of the problem. I have always doted upon my family and my children and my wife, and to a lesser extent myself, more and more every year, as much as I can comfortably do. It's just one of those things I enjoy doing for people, because, you know, entire years can go by and you don't, you realize that you just don't say the things you want to say to people enough. We take so many things for granted. We take so much of the time that we're able to spend together for granted. And this is, you know, kind of like Thanksgiving. This is another one of those times where I like to try to take a step back and really reflect on the year that was. It's like, my goodness, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago that we were celebrating 2024. And here we are, we're, you know, a week and change away from 2025. And it's time once again to put all the unnecessary and upsetting stuff aside to whatever degree we are able to, and really just take these times in and don't take them for granted, and don't just let them come and go. Really, really immerse yourself in it and indulge in it. Enjoy every second. We're going to have, because we can't get enough NFL in any of our lives, apparently. I believe it's Netflix has a couple of NFL games on Wednesday, which I think was the one remaining day that there had never been an NFL game on. Or maybe it's Tuesday. I can't remember. A few years ago, there was a stadium issue that caused a game to get moved from like Sunday or Monday to Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember. But anyway, so there's a couple of football games that day, and you absolutely know we're going to have them on. Even though our Vikings don't play, it's going to be on in the background, because that's just what we do. And there will be endless food and drinks, if that's your thing. I mean, we certainly enjoy our adult beverages in this household responsibly, but we certainly enjoy them. Then after that, we have our best friends from our old neighborhood that have since moved to Florida. They are coming up to visit their family primarily over Christmas, but then we are going to host them here for a few days right after Christmas. And just, I cannot wait. They are, you know how when you meet someone in your life, you know, not necessarily a soulmate, but you just meet someone that you just have the best time with, that you just get along with, your interests are the same, you find the same things funny, you just enjoy each other's company. I mean, even more than even just a really good friend. There's one or two people in your life, or maybe one or two families in your life, that it's just on another level. And this is one of those families for us. They are such amazing human beings, so smart, so brilliant. Three wonderful kids in this family, and they're just so respectful and so, each of them, funny in their own way, and we have a great time together. These were our COVID buddies. During COVID is when we built a really special bond with this family. We were part of each other's limited circle, you know, when we all had to kind of hunker down in the early days of that pandemic. They were part of our little circle. We were part of each other's exclusive group, that we would go to each other's houses, and, you know, understood that this was, there weren't many risks we could take back then in the early days, but we all decided, for the sake of all our sanity, that this was a risk we were going to take, that this, the, you know, our families would gasp, commingle during the worst of the COVID crisis. And I'll tell you, that really built a very special and, I would argue, unbreakable bond between our family and theirs. And they moved to Florida basically 2 summers ago. We miss them like crazy. We went and visited them last, just this past winter, late winter, early spring. We went and spent a week in Florida and spent several days with them at their place. And it's beautiful. And I've made clear my feelings about Florida, how I hope to end up there someday. And, you know, you never know what the future holds, but they're going to come back to the cornfields here and we get to entertain them for a few days. So that's going to be awesome. So starting with Christmas Eve, we are going to have nothing but friends and family for a good solid 5 days. And I can't wait. We are so blessed to have these kinds of people in our lives. And I sincerely hope that you have a chance to do that too, at least on some level. It's so important to be able to spend time with family this time of year. And like I mentioned on the last show, I don't want to, you know, make this depressing, but there is one thing I want to say, and I am, you know, speaking from my own experience here, it's very easy to forget that a lot of families look different this year than they did at this time last year. Maybe they lost somebody. Maybe a family has gone through some struggles, or, you know, maybe somebody lost a job, or, you know, any number of things that can turn the holiday season, which should be, as I've spent the last 10 minutes going on and on about, it really should be a time for joy and happiness and reflection and love and peace and time with those most important to you. But I understand not everybody gets to enjoy that. And like I said, that person I was talking to just last week said she lost her dad this year. And I know that's not a unique story. I know that there are a lot of families out there that are missing a member of their family that was there last Christmas, at their table or at their gift opening, you know, sitting in their favorite chair, opening their gifts. And it's important that we remember these people in our lives. And I'm sure you can think of someone, you're probably thinking of someone right now, for whom this holiday is going to be different than all that have come before. And I'm fortunate enough that I haven't had to go through that version of it myself. Just make sure that these people know how much you care about them. Give them, you know, if you don't get to see them, if you don't get to spend time with them over this Christmas season, give them an extra call. If you're not much of a phone person, which I'm not, just send them an extra message. Just make sure they know that you're thinking of them. And you don't even have to mention what might be going on that could be upsetting them or making them sad or making this holiday tougher than others. You don't even need to mention it. They're going to know. Just reach out to them. Whatever little message you can send them. I'm thinking of somebody right now, a friend of mine that we spent endless time together as young men figuring out the world. And we've kind of, I wouldn't say grown apart per se. We still text each other every once in a while and mean to get together, and life gets in the way and, you know, you end up not doing it. And so that's the person I'm thinking of right now, that as soon as I'm done recording this, I'm going to message them and make sure they know I'm thinking of them. But make that effort. Reach out to the person that you're thinking of right now and just say, hey, thinking of you. Merry Christmas. I miss you. Hey, we're having people over on Christmas night. If you have somewhere to go, that's great. If you don't, I would love nothing more than to have you here. Just make sure that everyone in your life knows that someone is thinking of them, that someone would welcome them to their table. Make sure that they know they have somewhere to go to spend some time with people that care about them. Even if they don't take you up on it, which, you know, who knows if they do or not. But I think it's important that people know that they have a place to go, that they're not sitting in a lonely apartment or a lonely, you know, in their house all by themselves, watching family after family after family go down the street together and looking across the street into the bay window and seeing a family opening gifts. And and just feeling like no one took the time to reach out to them, that no one felt it necessary to invite them. Make sure that nobody in your life wakes up on Christmas morning not feeling like anybody wanted them or anyone invited them anywhere. Make sure they know there's a family out there that has a space for them. Even, like I say, even if they don't take you up on it, which maybe they do, maybe they don't, but at least they'll know there's somebody out there thinking of them and that would love to spend the time with them. Okay, enough on that. I just want to, if you will indulge me, I am just going to wax rhapsodic here for a little while about Christmas. There is a, I've mentioned over the course of this show that there are parts of me that have never grown up, like the sports fan in me, and Christmas morning JD has never grown up. Some people have lots of memories from their childhood. Some people can recall things from when they were 3, 4, 5 years old with really good detail. And I've always admired people in my life that can tell stories from 20, 30, 40 years ago, like they happened yesterday. And it's just captivating to me to hear people tell stories like that, because I am not one of them. I don't know if it's something psychological with me or medical or just how I'm wired. I don't know what it is. I don't have many memories from my childhood, really, at all. But the ones that I do retain, the ones that I can recall in vivid detail, largely surround Christmas and the buildup to it. I mean, I'm just going to take you through our average Christmas. I mean, we grew up as a Catholic family. We went to church every... So we were Saturday night goers, so we would go to church every Saturday night. And I can remember as a kid, you know, not many kids enjoy going to church. And I certainly was among that group, that it wasn't my favorite thing. I went. It was not my favorite thing. But then that last week of November, first week of December came along, and you walked into church and there was all the ivy and the garland and the Christmas trees were up and the lights were on, and then the priest would come down the aisle and, oh, they're wearing purple, and it was Advent season again, and suddenly I didn't mind going to church so much, and you started singing songs at church like O Come Emmanuel and Joy to the World and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I just have such vivid memories of the people that we would sit next to almost every week at church, and just looking over to them as we were singing Joy to the World, and it just felt like a different time. There's just something about the season of Christmas, the season of Advent, and just the Christmas season in general just feels, it just felt so magical. You know, as a kid, when you were making your list for Santa and you were making plans to go to the mall and sit on Santa's lap and go through those things that you've been thinking about all year long and that you've been waiting all this time to share with him and ask him for. I just remember when the snow started to fall, you just felt like you were that much closer. And then, you know, school became such a grind towards mid-December. You were just aching to get to Christmas vacation. And the second and third week of Advent comes and goes, and you're counting the days. You're wondering how many Eves it takes to get to Christmas Eve. I mean, here I am sitting on Christmas Eve, and I've called it that several times today. What 46-year-old calls December 23rd Christmas Eve? Well, this one. And I just remember that buildup, getting closer and closer. Once you got to Christmas vacation, now it's imminent. Now you know, I'm not going to have to go back to school until Santa has come and gone. And, oh, what am I going to get? And what am I going to bring to school that first day back to show off to all my friends? So you get to Christmas vacation, and it's just the buildup for me just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, depending on when in the week Christmas fell, you'd have that fourth Sunday of Advent and that Advent wreath at the front of the church with the four candles. You know, each week you light another candle, and that fourth week of Advent, we'd come into the church, and There's the big Advent wreath in the front of the church, and all four candles are lit. I get butterflies now even thinking about it. Just that pure innocence of being a 5 or 7 or 10 or 12 year old. You know, life's responsibilities haven't even presented themselves to you yet. Basically, every year is, you know, okay, it's third grade, it's fourth grade, it's fifth grade, and the realities of the world haven't set in yet. The responsibilities of adulthood and having to work and pay for things and, you know, pay the electric bill, things like that haven't even crossed your mind yet. Just everything was so pure and so innocent. And just having that magic, that anticipation of waiting for Christmas to get here. And then, like I say, you'd go to church and fourth Sunday of Advent, and then maybe Christmas is on Monday and you'd end up going back basically the very next day. Or maybe it was Friday and you just felt like it was still forever away. But then on, you know, finally you get to Christmas Eve. And I just remember waking up. I can almost say, and I'd have to think about this really hard, but I can say with about 52% certainty, Christmas Eve was my favorite day, just because the butterflies would last all day long. Just the endless excitement and anticipation. And knowing we were going to have a fun meal that night. Sometimes we wouldn't do like the holiday meal on Christmas Eve. We'd do something different. We did pizza burgers for several years, just kind of a family favorite. And we'd go to church and come home and have just trays and trays of pizza burgers. And there'd be Christmas music on in the background. We'd probably throw Christmas Vacation on the TV once that became a thing, or we'd watch Rudolph or whatever we had on tape. It wasn't as easy as it is now. I mean, if you wanted to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or How the Grinch Stole Christmas, it was appointment television until at least the VCR came out and became something that most people had in their homes. You checked the TV guide and made sure that on December 16th at 7:30, your rear end was planted in the living room with the entire family because you were going to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which only came on once a year. And then the Grinch would only come on once a year. And I remember vividly Mickey's Christmas Carol and that music. That music still to this day brings a tear to my eye. The opening song for Mickey's Christmas Carol, which you can find on Disney Plus, and now you can find Rudolph on Peacock, I'm sure. You know, it was on NBC this year, so I'm sure it's available on Peacock, and I'm sure the Grinch is out there too. But if you're of a certain age, you remember that wasn't always the way. It was on TV once, and absolutely everyone sat down at home with their family and watched it together. Boy, do I feel like some of that has been lost over the years, us included. I've watched 5 minutes of Rudolph because I caught the very, very end of it when it was on NBC this year. And hopefully we're going to watch some tonight. And I'm sure we'll watch some tomorrow with our friends. And that's all fine and great. But man, when they were only on once a year and then you'd try to record it on a crap videotape on a VCR, maybe then you'd be able to watch it kind of whenever you wanted. But there was something really, really special about, you know, a lot of the world just stopping to watch those classic Christmas shows. Charlie Brown, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, just so many great ones. Frosty the Snowman, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. There's so many that I remember. And If you missed them when they were on TV, you didn't see them. That was your chance. You missed it. So you get to Christmas Eve, you go to church, and it's just beautiful. Everything, every song that you sing is Christmas. During communion, I remember we would sing, because the church was so packed, I remember during communion, we would sing every verse of Silent Night. And sometimes we'd have to go and start repeating them because the church was so full and communion would take so much longer than normal. To just sit in a church, I mean, with your eyes closed, you're sitting there with your family, you're sitting there with God, and to hear an all-time just peaceful classic holiday song like Silent Night. I mean, I'm hearing it in my ears right now, and it's just such a special time of year, and I've always just had a special place in my heart for it. That, like I say, that I'm going to go to church tomorrow night, God willing, if I get home from work in time, which I should. That's my first prayer, is that I get home in time to get to church comfortably on time tomorrow night. I can hear it already, and I just, even as a grown adult that's closer to 50 than he is 40, I still feel that same magic, that same inexplicable warmth and joy when I hear these songs. And that we do the same ones at the Christmas Eve service every year. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Silent Night, Joy to the World, O Come, Emmanuel. It's just a part of who I am, and that's never going to change. I drive around this time of year, and just the Christmas lights and the inflatables and everyone that just puts so much as a little reindeer out in their front yard, or just puts Christmas lights on their eve or on their front porch. It just makes me smile. There's just an innocence that is associated, that I associate with this time of year, a purity and just an inexplicable joy and magic that I still even feel to this day. So Christmas Eve Mass would come and go, and when I'd walk out of church on Christmas Eve, I mean, the anticipation was impossible to contain, because now you're going home, and now you know you're going to go home, you're going to have one of your favorite meals, you're going to screw around for a while, and then it's time to open our one Christmas Eve present that my parents would let us open, all us kids, on Christmas Eve every year. But it was only one, and it was always the same thing. It was always a new set of pajamas. That's what we got on Christmas Eve. That was the one gift that we could open on Christmas Eve. And I remember my parents so endlessly generous to us. You know, the area beneath the tree would be absolutely overflowing with gifts. And there's little JD on his hands and knees after getting home from church on Christmas Eve. And my parents would mark them, you know, little asterisks on each side, two blank from mom and dad. And each one of us would have one gift marked with those asterisks and Xmas Eve written on the tag. And I would go on an absolute mission, tearing through, you know, the dozens of presents that we would have under the tree, and joyfully pulling out each Christmas Eve, Xmas Eve present for me and my siblings. And then we would all get together in the living room, and we'd open our, we all knew what they were, and we'd all open our new pajamas and run to our rooms and quick put them on and come back down, and the whole family would cheer. And just such an amazing tradition that my parents, and I'm sure there's a lot of families that do similar things to that. It means so much to the kids, and it's something that we, my wife and I, have enjoyed every minute of passing on to our kids, even though they're, you know, they're teenagers now. And, you know, that magic and wonder of Christmas at, you know, when you're 7, 8 years old, maybe that's waned a bit, sadly, but the traditions live on. And our kids still, even though they don't, neither one of them really wears pajamas anymore, it's the tradition that matters. It's sitting in the living room and opening up that Christmas Eve present that they've been able to do every single year. And they know what it's going to be, and they know they're going to probably wear them once, if they even make it through the night, because sometimes we get them and they're too hot, or they're not warm enough. They haven't all been home runs, but every part of that tradition has been an absolute godsend and has been such an important part of our Christmas each and every year, and will be again this year. So we'd all get our new pajamas on, and then we would just hang around in the living room, and so much of the extended family would come to, you know, to my house, my childhood home. We were always the host growing up. I just remember our cousins would come from the cities, and we'd only see them once or twice. You know, we'd see them on Thanksgiving and Christmas. That was pretty much it. And I talked about the member of my wife's family that just passed away in front of Thanksgiving, and how he was the boisterous, funny, you know, loudest voice in the room, always has a smile on his face. I'm thinking now of that member of my family who sadly passed away many years ago, very unexpectedly, died very young, but just one of those guys that just so full of life, and every time he spoke, everybody in the house could hear it. We all just loved him all the more for it. They would come up, and I never met my grandparents on my father's side. Sadly, they had passed away before I was born, but I had a very close relationship with my grandparents on my mother's side, and they would spend every holiday with us and would spend the night on Christmas Eve with us. And my aunts and uncles that had kind of spread out throughout the country, a lot of times they would come too, and we would just have this entire house full of people and so many conversations going on that no one could really make out a word of it. If you were just kind of sitting in the middle of the house trying to listen to any one of them, you'd be able to follow none of them because there was so much chaos and so much commotion, but it was all so joyful. And so, like I say, I don't have many memories as from a child, but I'm sitting here right now talking about this and I can picture it like it was yesterday. Little JD, I was the youngest kid in my family, so I'm around a lot of adults when it came to holidays. I was always until my nieces and nephews started being born, I was always the youngest person in the room growing up. And I can still remember my uncle who did an amazing Donald Duck impersonation that I am not going to try to mimic because I ain't got it. I don't know how he did it to this day, but he was... My favorite cartoon character growing up was Donald Duck, and my uncle would always do that impression for me, and he was so good with it. So, yeah, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, I mean, just endless commotion in the house on both levels. And then it would be time to go to bed. And, of course, us kids, we all gave up our beds to the guests, to the grandparents, to the aunts and uncles that were obviously older than us, and... So it would be the tradition each and every year that me and my siblings would sleep on the floor in my parents' room on Christmas Eve. This was the only night of the year that this happened. My siblings were much older than I was, so this was probably not their favorite thing, but it certainly was mine. We would all roll out our sleeping bags on the floor of my parents' bedroom, which was not very big. We did not have a lot of room, but it didn't matter. It was, again, it didn't even matter what you were doing. It was the traditional aspect of it that made it so enjoyable, even though you were completely uncomfortable on the floor. And I'm sure my older siblings woke up with, you know, everything hurting, everything stiff. I mean, you just slept an entire night on a floor in your parents' room. But they humored me. I'm being by far the youngest, I enjoyed it and was just enthralled by it. You remember what it was like going to bed on Christmas Eve. I mean, as a kid, when you knew Santa was coming, you'd make sure that everybody got to bed at a reasonable time because you didn't want Santa to pass you up if there was too many people awake. How is he supposed to come down the chimney if everybody's in the living room chatting and drinking and laughing and carrying on? So I remember everyone, you know, of course I'd be the first one to bed because I wanted Christmas to get here more than I wanted my next breath. So I'd go upstairs and I'd try to sleep, and of course I couldn't, because what kid can sleep on Christmas Eve? So I'd run back downstairs and tell everybody, you got to go to bed. You got to go to bed. Santa can't come until you all go to bed. And okay, okay, JD, okay. You know, who knows how long they stayed up. I can remember that. I can remember running down the stairs in my childhood home and then running back up and crawling into that sleeping bag. And eventually everybody would make their way up there. And there we all are, all on the floor in my parents' room. And everyone would finally get to bed. For those of you that have kids, I mean, you know what it's like. Christmas morning doesn't necessarily mean the sun is up. I remember at times waking up at 4:30 and waking my parents up, who I come to find out now, you know, spoiler alert, if you have any kids in the area that can hear this, turn the volume down. 3, 2, 1. Of course, now I know my parents were responsible for everything that happened on Christmas, or everything that appeared on Christmas morning, but, you know, who knows how late they were up. I know I spent many a night up until very, very late. It's 2, 3, sometimes 4 in the morning, putting things together and trying to get everything looking just so, get everything looking just perfect. And I had so much fun with that, and I'm sure my parents did too. So, of course, there I am at like 4:15 in the morning. Mom, Dad, it's time to get up. It's Christmas morning. And my dad would look at his clock and be like, it's 4:15. Not time to get up yet. So, of course, I'd lay back down and I'm rolling around and just making all kinds of noise. And eventually my siblings would be like, oh my God, JD, just get up. Go. Just leave us alone. Okay. Don't have to tell me twice. So I'd get up and I'd tear downstairs. And this is a memory I'm going to have for as long as I am able to last on this earth. And I hope even beyond that. My parents, when I was a kid, when Santa came, Santa didn't wrap the gifts in our house. Santa would bring a couple of unwrapped toys and just leave them gently placed throughout our living room. And stuff our stockings and, you know, kind of put them in a different place. And so you knew Santa had been there. You know, I'd come downstairs and it's pitch dark. All I can see are some silhouettes in our living room of the tree that isn't currently lit because it's 4 a.m. And I can see our mantle, and I can just barely see down below the mantle where our, you know, I'm trying to see this in the pitch dark. The only light that's coming in is whatever moonlight there is from the outside. But it was just enough that I could see that the stockings weren't where we left them. And then I'd come a little further and I could see that the plate of cookies that we left for Santa was just a plate of crumbs now. And the milk was gone. And I'd get into the living room and I can vividly remember, who knows what I asked for each given year. But I would come down the stairs and I could see that Santa had been there because I could see the silhouettes of things. I couldn't tell what they were. It almost didn't matter. Thinking back on it now, it didn't matter what it was. What mattered was the absolute wonder and magic that I felt in my heart coming down those stairs, looking over the railing and seeing those silhouettes. Whatever they were, that was all the evidence I needed that Santa had been there. And I'd find my way to the light switch, who knows how many things I'd trip over, and I'd turn the light on and I'd see my full stocking just overflowing with goodies, and I'd look around the room and I'd see what Santa had brought me, and I'm sure I'm making so much noise that anyone, and it was, again, this, we had a lot of people, but it was not a big house. It was a very traditional, you know, two-level, very traditional, not oversized house. I'm sure everybody could hear, one by one, they would come down the stairs at 5:30, 5:45, 6:15, you know, little by little, people would come down because I was making so much commotion with whatever Santa had brought me. And I can just remember one after another, you know, first it's my mom, and then it's my oldest sister, and then it's my younger sister, and then it's grandma. Oh, here comes grandpa, and oh, there's the uncle, and come downstairs and straight to the kitchen for the coffee that they so desperately needed to shake off the cobwebs of the night before. And of course, I granted them all of 2 or 3 hours of sleep max before I started making all that noise. And they would come downstairs just one by one, and we always had an egg bake on Christmas morning. I remember my mom would come downstairs, and she was usually the first one. And she would throw that egg bake together, and into the oven it would go, and then she'd cook bacon and sausage, and the whole house just filled with this smell of breakfast. And I think because I associate so many positive feelings and memories of my childhood with Christmas, that being one of them, that I think that's a reason why to this day, when I go to a restaurant, if it offers breakfast, I don't care what time of day it is, that's what I'm getting. I'm getting breakfast over, you know, it doesn't matter if it's dinner time. If the restaurant we're at serves breakfast, I'm in. That's what I'm having. And I think that's part of the reason. Because that smell of that Christmas breakfast would just fill the house from the basement to the second level. That smell combined with the coffee and now the ever-increasing level of noise with each and every person that was waking up and coming downstairs and hanging out at the table or in the living room and watching me play around with whatever Santa had brought me. Whoever was left sleeping would slowly come downstairs and join in, and then we'd have our breakfast, and we'd kind of whip through that, and then it was time for the family gift opening. 80% of the pictures I have from my childhood and about 95% of the memories that I have from my childhood are of our family gift opening that we made such a big deal about. We were part of the over-commercialization of Christmas. Guilty, Your Honor. Guilty as charged. But we made such a fun experience out of it. I mean, we would dote upon each other like crazy, but we weren't one of those families, and not that there's a problem with this, but we were not one of those families that everybody would just kind of open and show off and keep going and keep going, and everybody was kind of opening at once, and half an hour later you were done. No, we did the rotation. And when you've got 15 or 20 people and everybody's got 7 or 8 gifts, that takes a while. Looking back on it now, of course, I loved every minute of it. But I mean, this would go on for hours and hours, and coffee would slowly turn to, I'm sure, vodka or rum or whatever everybody was drinking that day. Because, you know, as an adult now I get it. This would go on for hours and hours that we would have our gift opening. And like I say, I mean, I was the youngest, so of course I was spoiled beyond rotten. We would go through this, and of course I'd end up with like 6 left at the end because nobody had as much as, you know, baby JD. He always gets the most. And it's, well, you know, goes with being the youngest. Suck it up. Oh, God, such amazing times. And we'd have our gift opening, and then we had just an amazing Christmas dinner, which we always had ham, that at least that I can remember. I don't remember much turkey on Christmas Day growing up. I remember ham, and that's why it became such a part of my tradition as an adult that I'm trying to pass on to my kids. It just the whole day was so amazing and such a build up to it. I mean, for over a month, you're building up to this one day. And as a kid, a month feels like 2 years. You know, oftentimes in life, when you have that kind of anticipation for something, it never quite lives up to the hype. Well, our Christmases never disappointed. Every one of them, even more special and magical than the last. And I am eternally grateful to my parents for letting all of this chaos happen in their home every year. and for starting all these traditions that I am so grateful to be able to pass on to my kids all these years later. I think that was part of what built our family the way it is. How close we are, how tight-knit we are, just how much we love each other, how much we enjoy each other's company. I think our family Christmases and the way we did them, I think that had a lot to do with it. You know, the text threads going back and forth between me and my siblings and my parents, and sadly those aunts and uncles and grandparents have passed on. But those of us that remain, the traditions haven't changed. That's because we don't want them to. Every once in a while, we'll throw in a new wrinkle, like a dice game or something else to try on Christmas Day, but nothing ever gets taken out. I think we feel like we built the perfect family holiday, the perfect family Christmas. And why mess with what works? Just all those memories from growing up. So many of them are from this time of year. I enjoy gift giving now every bit as much as I enjoyed that magical walk down the stairs on Christmas morning as an 8-year-old. Just seeing the joy on people's faces. It's a cold time of year, so everybody's dressed warm and everybody's got their coffee mug or their hot chocolate. Maybe, you know, maybe their coffee's got some Irish cream in it. Ours certainly will on Christmas morning. We've just made such a production out of it as a family, but a production in a good way. I mean, yeah, we go over the top with gifts and whatnot, but just the fact that, you know, my brother is coming from 5 states away to make sure he's here, and thankfully the rest of us all live here. I'm sitting here with my eyes shut, and I'm on that staircase in my childhood home in my mind right now, and I'm looking over that railing and seeing what changed. Thankfully, I feel like I was able to pass that love for this time of year onto my kids, because we still look forward to it every bit as much as we did even when they were younger. It's just such a big part of our year. I'm not a fan of winter. I've made that pretty clear over the course of this show. Not my favorite time of year season-wise, but the Christmas season really is my favorite time of year. The music, the lights. I know some people are over it, and I really kind of feel bad for those people that, you know, a Christmas song will come on the radio and there'll be an audible ugh, you know, from some people, whereas I'm just like, I start singing along. I don't want to start singing them now because I don't want to get into any copyright issues. I know this has already gone way longer than I wanted, and I'm going to let you all get to your Christmas celebrations and your family and your friends and your food and your football and hopefully some time off. I hope you get some time off around the holidays here. My usual post-Christmas vacation has to wait a couple weeks this year. It's just kind of the way it worked out, but I'll have some time off in January here. But in the meantime, we're going to be busy in this house hosting a lot of very fun events, and my work schedule's pretty much as it usually is. I get the holidays off, but that's it for the next couple weeks. But if I can encourage you to do anything, try to do it before Christmas if you can, but just at some point over the Christmas and New Year's time here, to reach out to some friends or family that you haven't talked to in a while, or that you think might be maybe somebody you can think of that had a rough year or had something rough happen to them this year, and just let them know you're thinking of them and that they have a place at your table if they're so inclined. And while you're at it, go listen to some Burl Ives. Go listen to some Bing Crosby, the Christmas classics. Dean Martin. I mean, this is my kind of Christmas music. You know, everybody else can have all the new stuff. I'm not interested. About the most recent song that I can think of that I can tolerate during Christmas is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. That's about the most recent song that I can stomach for Christmas music. Other than that, give me Andy Williams. Give me Jose Feliciano. Elvis Presley, Burl Ives, Gene Autry. That's my kind of Christmas classics. And they're all over. I mean, I found a great station on Spotify. There's a good one on iHeartRadio, too. They do us the service of separating them out. If you like the newer Christmas music, they have a station for that. They also each have Christmas classics, and that's how I roll. So thank you for humoring me through this walk down my own personal memory lane. Christmas is such a special time of year to me, and I think it can be part of the answer going forward to maybe heal some other things in life that might not have anything to do with Christmas, but maybe could be helped out if we all took a more spiritual approach to Christmas, which I'm not going to get crazy religious on you here. I respect everybody's different religions, whatever you celebrate this time of year, or if you don't celebrate at all. But obviously, Christmas being a Christian holiday and me being a Christian, there is a spiritual aspect to this as well. And I just think all of it, the spiritual nature of it, the magic of it, the wonder of it, especially for the kids, but you know, for those of us that still have that part of them that never grew up, I think all of this can be part of what helps bring everything together at some point going forward here. And maybe that's just my Christmas season optimism talking. You know, we got to start somewhere, right? So a very, very Merry Christmas to all of you. Thank you again for indulging in this trip down memory lane. I really hope you get to watch some of your favorite Christmas shows over these next few days, that you get to spend some time with your family and your friends and enjoy what this season has always been about, and you know, maybe a little bit of the commercial nature of it too. Hopefully you get some nice stuff. We're going to take a good break here until after the new year, but we will get back to our twice a week shows. I've got all kinds of stuff in the works, and once I get to that little bit of break from my day job, I can really put the finishing touches on a few of these things that I want to get into. And we are going to bust fully out of the political box coming up here. One of the things I'm working on right now has absolutely nothing to do with politics, and I really think you're going to enjoy it. And you know, we're going to kind of bounce back and forth between the political and the non-political. And like I said, we've got that conversation with that friend of mine, the Harris voter, that we're going to try like crazy to get out right in front of the inauguration. So all kinds of stuff in the works for you here. It's going to be a great 2025. I really have a good vibe about 2025. I really do, for a number of different reasons. But in the meantime, we're going to wrap here. Thank you so much for your time and for indulging me. Again, this has been Spin Sold Separately, and I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you next time.